Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And we kick off our show like we do every Thursday with our great friends from the Southwood County Humane Society. We have Executive Director Madison Rafter with us right now, getting ready to give us our Pet of the Week. Madison, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thanks so much for being here. We appreciate the time. And in our pregame, we were talking, and this has been about a year we've been doing this.
Yep. It's been about a year, so I'm very happy about it and happy to continue doing it.
Us too. We missed having this segment in years past. It's so good to have it back. It's so good to be able to talk about the Humane Society every week, to bring attention to these things. And we have loved working with you. It's been a lot of fun working with you. And you had some stats for us, and I love stats, Madison. I don't know if you know. I love stats, statistics and everything. So what did you have for us about this?
Yeah, so with our Pet of the Week, normally we usually do one pet at a time, but sometimes we did a couple or I talk about a group of them. But our total number for the whole year was 67 animals that we talked about. When I pulled and looked at our numbers, we have 57 of them that have been adopted.
Wow. Yay. Wow. That is awesome. That's the good story of the day right there. I don't know if we're topping that one. That's so good. A big, big, big thank you to the best listeners of radio out there. Every one of you that have helped this happen. This doesn't happen without all of you out there. One of the greatest communities you'll ever be around. The good people of Wood County here making these things happen. We greatly appreciate you being behind us on this. And of course, a gigantic thank you to you and your team, Madison. We appreciate you spending some time with us.
Well, thank you. We appreciate everybody for sharing, getting the word out there for our animals, and just making sure we can continue to help support our community the best we can.
How are things going over at the shop?
Good. Our kennels are almost done. Pretty much our main dog room is almost fully completed. They're putting kennels in this week. Our stray intake won't be done until probably mid-February, but I'm hoping we can start getting dogs in the door starting as of next week. So,
with this, Madison, with this this change over there, what is this going to be able to do for you guys? What is this going to be add to you to the things at the Humane Society?
Yeah, so sadly, pretty much since COVID, we have not had dog walkthroughs for a multitude of different issues. Reason number one is our kennels looked like crap. They were not fantastic. Floors were cracking. Just overall not good kennels. So we've not had walkthroughs for that reason. Also, our dogs especially do not have good kennel presentation in the shelter. And our kennel setup that we have, they're looking at each other all the time. And with that, that continues to rile them up and rile them up. So you start to see a lot more of that barrier reactivity of our dogs. So their kennel presentation just was not good. Our new kennels that we have for a setup have more of a barrier with a window so that they're not looking at each other constantly. They're not riling each other up, things like that, so that when the general public does walk through, their kennel presentation isn't as bad as it was, especially because a lot of our shepherds or any of our high working breed dogs always tend to have a little bit of that barrier reactivity. This will help with their kennel presentation will not continue to deter adopters kind of situation. So we're very excited about that. We have a full meet and greet room finally. I know that's been something that's been in the works for years and years and years that we have not had the proper space to do some like meet and greets with dogs. Sure, outside in the summertime, we'll take them out and they can run around in the yard. But the room we previously had was too small for a 50-pound dog. I'm sorry, you're getting trampled if you have a family of five in there with a 50-pound dog. So now that we have a proper meet and greet room, we can actually do them all year round. We're not clouding up the lobby. We actually have the proper space for that. And then the most exciting part that I'm happy about is we actually will have safe bite quarantine kennels. We do bite quarantines for the county as well as handle dangerous dogs. We will have safe kennels so that my staff are safe as well as the animal is safe. They're indoor outdoor kennels with a guillotine door so that we pretty much can lift the door. They can go outside. We can lock them on that side, clean their inside kennel and let them back in. We could also leave it open and they can go in and out as they please. So we're very, very excited about that.
This is a twofold process where we're so thankful to hear about something that's going to help with these dogs and their safety and them getting adopted. I think those are notes that most average people would not know. So I appreciate that insight. And the safety of you and your team. That's very high on our list. And that is really good to hear. And another part of this that I don't think a lot of us understood or knew, the presentation matters. It just does. And that these kind of things, especially in a situation like this where, you know, we talk about this all the time. First impressions matter. And in this, we think about it just with people meeting people, but it's the same thing in this scenario too.
Yep. No, it's definitely something that's definitely needed for a very, very long time. And I'm very happy to be able to have this as something we can continue to offer to the community. It's a safe space for our animals. It's a safe space for our staff, as well as the community coming in. So we're very excited to be able to reveal everything and people to start coming in again and being able to walk through. So it's something that I've not liked to had to make that decision to close walkthroughs through dogs. Mm-hmm. It's not my favorite thing. I wish that I would be able, you could walk through and see animals, but based off safety of our animals and the public, that's one of the reasons why we closed for as long as we did. So yeah. I'm excited to open it back up and start to have that again. So
when things do open back up, I want to do a remote from there. I want to broadcast. I want to help celebrate that place.
Yeah.
We'll work that out. We'll figure something out. Even if I just got to run over there with a microphone.
Definitely.
We'll figure that out. I'm so excited and so happy for you guys. And every day we're a little bit closer to that. Shout out to the construction team over there doing some great work as well.
I know. The poor construction team. I'm just like, all right, what's our timeline? When can I start bringing dogs in? And they're just like, what? And I was like, oh, by the way, I tagged dogs already. You guys got a deadline now.
Before we dive into our pet of the week, I did have a story that I came across and was talking about with Melissa this morning that I wanted to tell you about. And I do have an added note with it. A cat who went missing from her owner's home turned out to have gone over 800 on an 800 mile road trip across England and Wales in the engine compartment of a moving van. The cat is safe. It's okay. It's doing well. But it got into this machine as the neighbors that were moving. It goes in there and it gets moved. They were able to get the cat back to its home because of its microchip.
Yep.
Veterinarian checked it and everything. So another important note, as Melissa said earlier this morning, about microchipping and how important that is.
Yep, microchipping is so important. The other thing too, especially with the weather temperatures dropping, make sure you check your hoods of your car before you get in your car. Just even if you knock a little bit before you start your car, it's definitely something to make sure you're checking it. I mean, we have one cat that it has happened on two occasions now where he has gone from one side of the county to the other side of the county because he hops in cars. Luckily, he's microchipped and we get him back to the owners, but definitely something that, just for precaution in the wintertime too, when the temperatures start dropping and it becomes this, cats want to try to crawl somewhere where it's warm, even if it's a safe space from the wind. Cars are a very, very good thing for them to crawl into. So just make sure you check in your hoods before you start your cars.
He just wants a joyride.
Just a joyride. I mean, we can all relate to that, right? We can all relate.
I mean, we had a stray cat this year that I think it was earlier this summer. The lady had left her sunroof open and he curled in her sunroof and was sitting under her car or sitting under her chair because she's like, how did this cat get in my car?
Yeah.
He had curled in her sunroof. So
it's wild.
They go where it's warm. So I don't blame them.
Cats climb on things.
It's a funny, fun story. It's also a good note, keeping that in mind. One of the things I like to do when I'm wiping off my windshields, because I always have to park outside, I wipe off my windshields and before I get in the car, I'll tap under the car sometimes. But I don't think about inside the engine, under the hood often. So that's a good note to keep in mind.
Yeah, definitely something like when we used to live in Indiana, we had barn cats that were always crawling up under the hood. So it's definitely something if you at least tap on the top of your hood, it usually will spook them to jump out from under the car. So highly recommend that. And another note, if anybody is looking for microchipping, we do offer microchipping at the Humane Society. It is $25 for that. So if it is something you are interested in, feel free to give us a call and set up an appointment.
You'll not only know that your furry friend is safe and be able to come back home if something like this happens, it goes on a road trip or something like that, but also knowing that you're helping the Humane Society, you're putting back into your community through something like that. Mm-hmm. Who is our pet of the week, Madison?
Our pet of the week this week is Dom. Dom is a one-year-old lionhead boy. He was brought into us as an owner surrender due to no fault of his own. It just was a situation that wasn't his fault or anything along those lines. He was brought in with his sister, Mia. So there's actually two of them. Dom is a lion hair rabbit. He's gray, like smoky gray. He's a very sweet, curious little dude. He just wants to run around in a room, play, do his own thing. Mia's a little bit more on the reserve side. She's more about just kind of keeping to herself, but she definitely will come out once she's comfortable. But both of the two of these would make great pets for anybody who's looking for a first-time rabbit. They're both very easily handleable. I can trim their nails, no issue. So, and again, if it's something you've never owned a rabbit, to, feel free to call too. I'm very good with helping continue to explain adoptions and how to care for a rabbit, how to trim nails. If you don't feel comfortable with something, feel free to give us a call. We're more than welcome to walk you through it, provide you resources, things like that.
I know firsthand Madison means every word she says about rabbits when it comes to that, and she can back all that up. We are both big rabbit lovers, and I like to think of rabbits as being that in between of cats and dogs.
Yep.
Of if you want almost the best of both worlds. Yep. Rabbits really give you that.
Yeah.
They're such a wonderful, caring pet. They're so empathetic and creative and fun and interesting animals. I'd like to see rabbits like this go to really good homes. I'm rambling because I want Tom so bad. I cannot look at him. I can't look at him.
You have to look him up because he's the cutest little white puffball.
Oh my God.
With a gray nose and gray ears. He's adorable.
And my two favorite colors are orange and gray. Yeah. And I'm looking at this, and his name's Dom. I'm a Dago. Come on. Like,
they're named after Fast and Furious. Oh, so, nice, yep. Nice. I mean, you know, you're a fan of that. That's just perfect for it.
But he is all white.
He's actually gray. This picture is a little weird. It's, what's the color pattern? I want to say it's a sable point.
Yeah, I could be wrong.
It's some sort of sable coloring in a sorts, but he is gray. It's just different shades of gray. So he's got the dark gray, the light gray, some medium gray in there, but he's a little love bug.
Little puffball.
Just awesome. Just an awesome little guy. Find out more about Dom and other great pets over at the Southwick County Humane Society. Madison, is there anything else you want to touch on before I let you go?
We are opening up volunteer applications very soon. So once our kennel renovations are finalized, we will be opening those back up again. So if you are interested in getting involved in dog walking, dog cleaning, cat socialization, cat cleaning, anything along those lines, please fill out an application online. We do most of our communication through email. So please make sure you have a valid email if you are filling out applications.
And find out more by going to SWCHS.com, SWCHS.com. Be sure to follow the Southwick County Humane Society on social media as well. It's a great follow, great way to keep up on things going on with our Humane Society. Madison, we'll talk to you next Thursday. Thank you so much for the time. We appreciate you.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Because right now I'm lying in bed.
Wait a minute. We already did this one. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio.
We heard this yesterday, too.
Yeah. Is it the Bare Naked Ladies, I think? I'm not sure. Well, we're making the their fans out there. What is it? The BNL? BNL fans? I don't know. I'm not sure. Anybody out there, Bare Naked Ladies, maybe they're fans. Maybe they're friends. And maybe they're enjoying it. Our good friend Madison Rafter joining us. I want to send a big shout out to her. A big thank you to her for joining us. It was a lot of fun. Be listening every Thursday for our another Pet of the Week from our friends at the Southwick County Humane Society. And find out more about them at SWCHS.com. SWCHS.com. I am a little mad at Madison because I cannot stop looking at Dom. encourage you to go ahead and adopt Don, please. Do it so that, give him a good home.
Save James from
save me from myself.
Being, yes.
Yeah.
Please do.
And saving Melissa from future work. But inside joke there. We got to get into some entertainment news right now. And Green Day did a surprise 6-song set. It's just where they did it that was so cool. They did this at the Rockefeller Center subway station in New York Tuesday night.
Oh, cool.
It was taped for the Tonight Show. They came out in disguises with wigs, fake mustaches, and sunglasses to play a cover of Bad Company's Feel Like Making Love.
Oh, that's funny.
After revealing their identities, they went right in the Basket Case, their best song as far as I'm concerned. And they did 2 songs of Kiss, Rock and Roll All Night, and then they did American Idiot. No word yet on when the segment's going to air. The new album that they have coming out is called Saviors. It comes out tomorrow.
Nice.
In related news, Green Day says on their upcoming stadium tour with the Smashing Pumpkins, they'll be playing Dookie and American Idol in full. American Idiot in full. Two albums. I kind of like when bands do this, that especially bands that have a large body of work. If I'm a fan of Green Day, but I'm only a fan of this particular genre or this album or something like that, this is right up your alley. You know, I love this album
that's the album you like.
Right. Exactly. I think that's really smart. I don't begrudge any artist trying to make a buck. That's how they make a living. Most of them don't own their own music, which is insane to me. so I don't begrudge that kind of thing. But I think that this is even more complimentary. This is about the fans. And really, mm-hmm. you know, when you care about your fans, it's not so much about the money as it is about that. And it seems right. like Green Day has always been that way.
And they can be that way because they're so big.
Yeah, very true. Very true. They have, and they've been. It's weird to me. They're one of those bands that I don't think of as, oh, they've been around 20 some years, but they've been around 20 some years. They it's just interesting.
Their music doesn't get old.
Yeah, and I don't think of them as a band that's been around this long and everything. It's just very interesting.
James,
I think.
I hate to tell you this, but most of the music we listened to in high school is now considered classic music.
It's so classic weird. When I started at GLX back in the day doing classic rock and everything, I learned that in order for a song to be considered classic rock, it has to be 10 years old. And you hear that and you think, oh, okay, that's cool. That's really interesting. And then you realize, oh, I've been out of high school for like 9 or 10 years or whatever. And yeah, Nirvana's Nevermind is considered classic rock. Pearl Jam's 10. Alice in Chains' Dirt. Like all these albums that I would listen to over and over again and now are considered classic rock.
Because it's been more like 20 years since high school.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. Another reminder.
I don't have a problem with it, honestly.
I do it in a joking sense. I prefer getting older as to the alternative. I'll take it.
Yes, obviously. Mm-hmm.
This is probably not one of the better ideas Hollywood has came up with, or maybe it might be. Pauly Shore will be starring in a biopic about Richard Simmons.
There was a lot of rumors flying around about this for a while.
Pauly also.
So now it's finally been confirmed?
Yes. Pauly also stars in a short film about Richard called The Court Jester. It's not related to the movie. Pauly revealed the last year that he was playing phone tag with Simmons about the movie, but it doesn't sound like he's ever really been into the idea. Richard released a statement yesterday morning saying, quote, "You may have heard that they may be doing a movie about me with Pauly Shore. I have never given my permission for this movie, so don't believe everything you read. I no longer have a manager, and I no longer have a publicist. I just try to live a quiet and peaceful life. Thank you for all your love and support." Richard Simmons has earned to be out of the public eye. You know, he did a lot. Yes, he made a lot of money, and he did a lot of, we all had jokes about Richard Simmons back in the 80s and things like that.
Of course.
But you can't deny that he was ahead of the game on mental health and about body health and about and about body positivity.
Absolutely.
I remember my mom watching some of his stuff, and he would make it a point to have, I don't know how to properly put this, but, not supermodels in the front row.
Various sizes that represent our population.
He was really adamant about that and very big about that back in the day. And I think that a biopic about him makes sense. Why would you not want to do a biopic about him, especially with the rise of biopics being so popular? And we've really gotten really good at making biographies nowadays where we're telling true stories. We're not just giving you headlines or the good stuff. We're seeing the nuts and bolts of these things more. And I think a life about Richard Simmons would be very interesting if Richard Simmons was cool with it. It does bother me.
That's the kicker.
Yeah, it does bother me a little bit that they're doing this without his say. This isn't the first time.
Without his permission.
This isn't the first time this kind of thing has been done. And as far as copyright laws and that kind of thing goes, you are able to fudge things here and there with that. And I don't know enough about the movie to know if they did that. But I'm guessing since he didn't give his blessing, that's probably what they did. This is probably. Years back, there was this race to make a Janis Joplin biopic, and they one group had the rights to her music, the other group didn't, and the group that they released the movie first, they released the Janis Joplin movie, but they didn't have the rights to her music. So it was Janis Joplin, but without, take a piece of my heart or any of these things and stuff. And it's just kind of like, I don't know, how the movie didn't do very well. It really wasn't that popular. And I don't know the point in doing some of these sometimes, Hollywood has had no problem in the last couple of years literally making a complete movie and then like scratching it because they make more money off of that than they do releasing it.
Trying to release it to a dismal failure.
Yeah. Meanwhile, while the producers and the people that own these companies make tons of money off of those, let's take the Batwoman movie that famously last year was made. They finished it. All they had to do left was some principal filming, and they scratched the whole thing. They had the whole movie made, scratched it. And for for the producers and everything, well, they get their money back on that. They're going to be okay. But if I'm an actor, I scheduled in my schedule, my time is valuable, and mm-hmm. I scheduled to be a part of this movie. I turned down other roles so I could do this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nobody's seen it, but it can't be, it doesn't even matter if it's on my resume.
Right, because nobody's seen it.
I'm going to be honest, hits a little close to home for me. I spent 9 months working on a TV show, 11 episodes, that ain't a damn person ever going to see. And it's frustrating. I had other projects that I could have done that I turned down. I had I could have spent more time with my family. I mean, there's a billion things you can do, and I'm not the only one. There was five other actors that are part of that were also looking at this as their big break. Meanwhile, the producers, they just scratch this off and they make all their money back. The entertainers, the creatives, and I haven't even gotten into the guy holding the mic, the grip guy, the mm-hmm. costume and editors and all of these people. They all suffer while the top of the line, the very top of it, they make their money.
Gee, does that sound like a familiar tune?
Mm-hmm. A Chuck E. Cheese game show is in the works.
Really?
It's really? It's where duos of big kids, you know, those of us over 18, can compete in supersized arcade games.
I love this.
I'm all in. I'm all in.
I really love this.
These games will include pinball, air hockey, alley roller, and the human claw. The pair who earns the most tickets will get to exchange them for prizes of a massive version of Chuck E. Cheese prize wall. It's still pretty early on, so there's no word yet on the network or premiere date. There's also no word if the show has already been cast. Being done by the same guys who do Top Chef and Nailed It. So that is pretty good.
That's good. Those shows are hugely popular.
Yeah.
Well done.
I'm not even that into cooking shows, and Top Chef is awesome. I like that show. I haven't seen Nailed It, but I know that a lot of people that do like it.
Yeah, I guess that's one where they like actually do really badly at what they're trying to do.
Oh,
right.
Okay. I don't know.
Pretty sure that's how that show works.
Okay. I don't say this very often. This isn't just a good idea, a great idea. This should have been done already. Like, I feel like this is one of those ones as I'm reading, I'm like, why didn't we think of this sooner? This is amazing. This is a fantastic idea.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's a little bit reminiscent of like Nickelodeon Slime.
Oh, yeah.
Those shows where, you know, you had the obstacle.
Double Dare.
I loved those when I was a kid. Those were my favorite.
My sister and I would sit back and watch Double Dare, and we would, I got to imagine, like other kids did, plan out what you would do, how you would handle those things and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
And you go down, like the one where you go down the slide and you land in the pile of, I don't know, it was probably shaving cream, but it looked like whipped cream, and you have to dig through for the different things to find. And,
yes.
Oh, I love that game. This. Also love because we used to get to go to Chuck E. Cheese's a couple times throughout our childhood because I don't know, for some reason that's where we celebrated my brother Andy's birthday. So and that was right on New Year's Day. So we would go to Chuck E. Cheese's on New Year's Day. We didn't do it every year, but we did it often enough that it became associated with his birthday in my mind. And playing the arcade games is just, I don't know, good memories.
That's going to be awesome. That is going to be a fantastic show. I don't watch a lot of reality TV or game shows. I'm going to watch that. I definitely am going to watch that.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, that looks pretty good. We are going to take a quick news break. We'll come back, and Melissa and I are going to get into an interesting story about a woman who bought a vintage dress at an antique store and found a secret pocket and what was in it.
This is such a cool story.
It's coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. We hope you're having a great start to your Thursday out there. Melissa and James here. We're going to dive into a fun story. This may take a little while to unfold, but I promise it has got a great payoff to it. And I think it's a really interesting one. I want to send a shout out to CNN.com's Faith Kalimimi. Faith Karimi, who reported on this article. And if you're curious about seeing the entire article in its full and you'd like to read it, encourage you to do so. You can find it at CNN.com and just go ahead and look for a woman who bought a vintage dress at an antique store. That's the headline. If you throw that into your search bar, you should be able to find it as well.
Or even just vintage dress, secret pocket. Probably bring it up.
Yes, nicely done. The Victorian dress in the main antique mall was unlike anything Sarah Rivers Cofield had seen before. Its fitted bodice, puffy bust, and lace cuffs reflected a bygone era. As a vintage costume collector, Rivers Cofield recognized it as a dress from the 1880s. But despite its age, its delicate embroidery, bronze, silk, and metallic buttons appeared intact. She haggled the price down to $100 from $125, so she wondered where she'd store the two-piece garment. The price was higher than she usually pays for as an archaeologist who collects antique costumes and purses for fun, but it was a holiday season, so she just splurged a little bit. And boy, was it a good idea she did. Rivers Cofield had no idea that the dress she bought in December of 2013 would unravel a mystery a decade later. Inside, a secret pocket tucked under the bustle were two crumpled sheets of paper with lists of seemingly random words and places. Melissa, just for those of us that aren't as good at this stuff and know these things, what is the bustle?
The bustle is the part that is over the back. It's basically above your butt.
Yeah.
Bunched up part back there.
I see. That's one of those things. I'm being honest here. I just didn't know what that was. I knew exactly what you're talking about as soon as you said it, but I did not know that's what that was called. Okay.
Yep. That's what that's called.
So in that bustle were two crumpled sheets of paper with lists of seemingly random words and places. On the paper was Bismarck, Omit, Leafage, Buck, and Bank. And then on the other line, Calgary, Cuba, Unguarded, Confute, Duck, Fagin.
Weird.
Yeah. Notes on the margin of the papers appeared to depict time. A tag stitched into the dress had a handwritten name, Bennett. Rivers Cofield was baffled, she told CNN. The words were cryptic. What did they mean? And why did Bennett need a, quote, super secret hidey hole? In River Cofield's words, to stash them. The buttons alone portrayed a forlorn Ophelia from Shakespeare's Hamlet and were worth more than she had paid for the dress. So even before the mystery unravels, she's got more than she bargained for, literally, and in other ways. In February 2014, she posted a blog about the dress, which she nicknamed Bennett's Bronze Bustle. What the? She wrote, I'm putting it up here in case there's some decoding prodigy out there looking for a project. She included photos of the dress and the papers. And you'd see these papers if you look up the article, and it's just really cool to see the fadedness of them, the old.
Yeah, the faded paper, a beautiful handwritten script.
Online sleuths took up the case, but without success. In 2017, one blogger added the note to his list of the top 50 unsolved encrypted messages and floated more theories. I am already following that, by the way, that 50 unsolved encrypted messages. That's
nice.
It's pretty cool. What is it? A cryptic love note, dress measurements, Civil War codes? Rivers Cofield quickly dismissed any interpretation linked to the Civil War. She has studied the 1880s catalogs from department store chains like Bloomington's, and no doubt the dress was from that era. By then, the war had been over for about 20 years. Others speculated it was a form of communication related to the telegraph, a new way of sending quick notes launched in the United States in the 1800s.
Emojis.
Yes. Nicely done. Wayne Chan, a researcher at the University of Manitoba in Canada, stumbled across the code online in the summer of 2018. He told CNN he looked at 170 code books and none of them matched the message. Quote, I worked on it for a few months, but didn't get anywhere with it. I set it aside and didn't look at it again. Chan then said, who solves codes as a hobby, then began researching the telegraph era, including the weather codes used in North America at the time. And early last year, he had a breakthrough.
Ah.
He discovered the coded messages were, in fact, a weather report.
Weird.
Yeah, and they were not encrypted for secrecy, but because the code allowed forecasters to shorten detailed weather reports into a few words.
Hmm.
In the era of the telegraph, where you were charged for every word to send a message, such shorthand was cheaper than sending a big batch of words and temperature readings. Each word represented meteorological variables such as temperature, wind, speed, and barometric pressure at a specific location, time of day.
Huh.
For example, the line Bismarck, Omit, Leafage, Buck, Bank contains a surprisingly specific details. Bismarck meant it was recorded at Bismarck Station in what is now North Dakota. Omit meant that the air temperature was 56 degrees and the barometric pressure was 0.08 inches of mercury. Leafage referred to a dew point of 32 degrees Fahrenheit observed at 10 p.m. Buck indicated there were no perception, while bank meant a wind velocity of 12 miles per hour and a clear sunset.
Wow. So an entire paragraph of a forecast shortened to, what, five words?
Yeah. Now, shout out to the telegraph, the first texting and machine. Like,
right?
That's amazing. And a good note by you with that. I wouldn't have made that connection, I don't think, if you hadn't said that. That's really cool. all weather stations were required to send the reports by telegraph to a central office in Washington, D.C., Chan said.
That's awesome.
Chan discovered that the encoded message used a 19th century telegraphic weather code used by the Army Signal Corps, which was the National Weather Service for the U.S. during the 1880s.
Yeah. Wow.
Rivers Cofield said she was stunned by the revelation, but not surprised. Quote, I'm an archaeologist for a living, so I do a lot of research into the past, she said. I've long since come to terms with the fact that not every artifact or every document is going to reveal all of its secrets. As part of that's pretty cool interest. And I imagine a very that's got to be a difficult part of that job.
Mm-hmm. Not be able to figure it out.
Mm. As part of Chan's research, the National Oceanic and Astrophoric Administration provided old weather maps that helped him determine the precise date of the weather observations in the coded note, and it was May 27th, 1888.
Wow.
They were able
That's fascinating.
They were able to pinpoint the date. That's incredible. So cool. Rivers Cofield said one of the biggest takeaways from the discovery has been realizing that people had no immediate way of knowing what weather was coming in the 1880s. Quote, it never occurred to me that the telegraph would have been what unlocks that for people, because now we're also used to our weather apps, or, you know, even before the rise of phones and everybody having a supercomputer on their hip, we had, you know, pretty much out weather on the top of the hour at news stations and that.
Radio stations.
Yeah. It's still, though, unclear who Bennett was and why she had weather codes stashed in a secret pocket.
So the mystery remains.
Yeah. But for now, Chan and Rivers Cofield are just glad that they have unraveled the biggest piece of the dress's mystery.
Wow. This is so cool. I could see this as, you know, like fodder for a stage play or even a movie or a TV show or a book.
I think this
like,
would...
This
yeah.
woman, a meteorologist in 1888, which is probably fairly unheard of in that time.
I love these kind of stories, especially when we get some of the truth or some of the story revealed, but not all of it.
Mm-hmm.
It drives me a little crazy because I love to have the answers, but at the same time, I love the mystery.
Such opening for imagination of what she was doing or what would have, you know, been going on at that time. Because this is a fairly fancy dress.
Yeah.
For the time period. I mean, this woman was not poor.
Right. Where and back then, this now, if it was during the Civil War, I would immediately think of a spy, because a lot of the times some spies were from the upper class, if you will, or something. But this had nothing to do with the Civil War. So why hide the information?
And it was weather.
Yeah. What was so, so? What needed to be so secretive about it? Or are we? Was this just because women have never had pockets in their clothes? Was this just the only thing place she had to put it?
I mean, it is a convenient place for to put it. And actually, so side note: women did have what they called pockets, but in this era. But they weren't. Okay. They were more like purses. They were tied, I believe, and it varied, I think, by culture. Mm-hmm. But they tie it around their waist, and it's a pocket.
Okay.
And some of their dresses, more often back then, did have pockets.
Interesting.
This is a more modern thing.
I didn't know that. Pockets. Oh, that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. And wait.
Well, if you look at that voluptuous skirt right there, you could fit a lot of things under it.
Yeah, it does look like it. You can. Yeah, it definitely does. Oh. thank you so much for going down that rabbit hole with me, everybody.
Absolutely.
That's fine. I really appreciate you doing that, Melissa. Thank
1800s
you.
Fashion, anytime, James.
I think these things are really interesting, and I also hope this encourages people to use thrift stores more and to go and use those kind of things. You never know what you can find.
That's very true.
We're taking a time out. We're coming back, and we're having some fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. Final segment of the show. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour with some fun and some Vernon Reid guitar. You're not going to be able to have Living Color on a bumper and not have me play most of it. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm just going to have to. I can't help myself. We got to get into. We usually save this section right here for a That Ain't Right story. We've been trying something a little different. Well, we're going to have those here and there, but we're also going to do them a little differently. And instead of a That Ain't Right story, I want to get into one that I think is really beneficial to people out there. And I am the That Ain't Right part of this story. We'll just get that out of the way right now. Okay. So here's your excuse to sleep until noon on Saturday. A recent study found sleeping in on the weekends might save your life.
Oh, that's extreme.
Researchers looked at the health records and sleep patterns of 3,400 Americans over the last 2 years.
Okay.
And people who slept an hour longer on weekends had lower rates of heart disease.
Nice.
They were less at risk of heart attacks, strokes, and then other people who woke up at the normal time. The biggest difference was folks who averaged less than 6 hours a night during the week and got at least 2 extra hours on the weekends.
Yes, that makeup sleep.
The one time it might not be good is if you're already getting enough sleep during the week. In that case, sticking to your normal schedule keeps your internal clock on schedule and makes your high quality sleep. But for anyone who is sleep deprived, which I got to think is 90 some percent of the audience out there.
Here in America.
Mm-hmm. Sleeping in on the weekends might be a good call. How long and how many of us have said in our heads or said to other people what Melissa just did? Oh, well, I'll make up my sleep on the weekend.
Or the age-old saying, you'll sleep when you're dead.
Exactly. Those are my two answers Monday through Friday whenever anybody brings up sleep with me. Oh, you know what? I got a little time on Saturday. I'll fit a nap in then or something like that. Ask me how many times I've done that, Melissa.
I don't need to ask you.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you know the answer. Yeah. It's important to do this, and now we actually have the data and the science to back it up. Science!
Favorite thing.
Mm. It actually, this actually does work. That actually does help.
Yeah, you can make up for sleep deprivation. It doesn't completely negate there's an actual term for it, that your sleep bank like you can't completely recharge it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You can put back into it a little bit, which does help.
Right, right. And every little bit goes quite a ways when it comes to not only sleep, but I mean your health, you know, doing good by yourself. And outside of if you have a normal sleep pattern, there's no necessary downside to this. That's pretty, I think, important too. Note of it.
Well, and we all know that when we're sick, what do you do? You sleep.
Yep.
Your body fixes itself when you're sleeping. So it's important to get enough of that time for our bodies to do the job that it needs to do while you're in that mode.
You encourage people to look more into this and pay attention to those things, because that is a fascinating thing to find out. And it's so cool to me to hear something that, you know, brings the kind of theory or the old wives' tale or whatever to home, to bring a truth to it. That's interesting to me.
Yep. It wasn't just mom telling you that.
No. We got to get to some good stories of the day. But first up, want to touch on our schedule. That's a good story of the day for sure. Join us from 3 to 4 today for Midday Magazine. Lisa Kubis, Executive Director, and Jillian Akalekna, Marketing and Events Director with Visit Rome, going to be joining us.
Oh, good.
We're heading to Rome. Looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, they have some exciting things coming up there soon.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that, talking about those and exploring more of the Rome area. Mm-hmm. And then in part two, our friend Kayla Rombalski is going to join us, community development educator. Kayla always has something fun and interesting to bring to us. Looking forward to finding that out at 3:30 today.
Great.
That'd be good stuff, everybody. Be sure to check it out and spread the word about these shows. You can find them if you miss anything. All of our shows are podcasted at civicmedia.us. We're also streaming 24/7 from there. Download the Civic Media app. Take us with you wherever you go.
And then it's easy one-button dialing to call in to the show and tell us what your thoughts are.
Which will come in handy tomorrow when we do our star of the day with Culver's.
Yeah. Get yourself some Culver's.
Yeah. Get some free Culver's just by answering our star of the day question tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun.
James makes it easy for everybody but me.
Tonight on the radio at 6:05, the Greg Gard Show. Find out what the Wisconsin Badgers head basketball coach has to say about this last game that they had this week against Penn State. A bit of a surprising loss, but a surprising season already from the Badgers men's basketball team. I think they're playing a lot better than most people had them being in the top upper crust of the Big Ten. Not many of us thought that would happen. So it's been an exciting season already. And you can hear what Coach Gard has to say about the game going on tomorrow that will be right here at WFHR. 6:30, Wisconsin men's basketball hosting Indiana, looking to get back in the W column.
Nice.
On Friday on WIRI at 6:50, great high school boys basketball. Almond Bancroft at Port Edwards. Michael and Seth going to tag team that.
And then this is the special. They're going to have the alumni pep band playing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So you don't want to miss that.
Mm-mm. No, it's going to be fun. And on Saturday, more Bucks basketball. You heard it from Mike Clemens earlier. Bucks are in Detroit at 1:30 to take on the Pistons. Pistons are not just the worst team in the NBA. They could go down as one of the worst teams of all time in the NBA.
Oh. So the Bucks should do better than the last game?
Should be a W, but it's basketball. Who knows? it all bets are off with basketball. We'll talk about it on Playmakers on Monday at 3 o'clock. Be sure to join us every Monday from 3 to 4 for Playmakers. It's our live call-in show brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Thanks, Phil.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Phil. I appreciate him. We mentioned this earlier, and we're going to talk more tomorrow about the Winter Farmers Market. We're going to have Michael join us tomorrow for that. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. But again, remember, everybody, the Winter Farmers Market's grand reopening this Saturday from 9 to 1 over at the Moravian Church basement at 310 First Avenue South. Find out more.
Get your fresh stuff. Shop in the warmth.
Yeah. And find out more at WRMoravian.org. Port Edwards Community Game Night featuring Family Feud.
Mm-hmm. This sounds like a lot of fun.
It really, really does. It's going on from 6 to 7:30 at the Port Edwards United Methodist Church at 411 Wisconsin River Drive. Board game based on the classic game show. They'll have $50 gift certificate for the winning team. And today is the final day to register for this. You can register by giving them a call at 715-887-3011. That's 887-3011.
Oh, Kevin wants to play.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I like the idea of the three of us being on a team together. We'll throw Seth in there, like the four of us. Yep. I think that'd be fun. And I think Kevin might do the best of all of us. I think Kevin would do
it. I think we should bring Laura, because that's our
ringer. Yes, right on. This event is a safe and brave space. Each team will consist of five people, but individuals will be placed together on a team. So if it's just you solo, you'll still be able to be a part of this.
Yeah, you can still register.
Have fun with that at the Port Edwards Community Gaming Night Family Feud going on this Saturday from 6 to 7:30. Today is the final day to register. You can do that by calling 715-887-3011, 887-3011. Keep in mind that this Saturday, our Wisconsin Rapids Rafters will have their hot stove event.
Yeah, this is the event going on at the Mead, right?
Yeah, the Hotel Mead and Conference Center's ballroom. Yep. As the clock keeps ticking closer to spring and closer to Rafters baseball, come and enjoy and find out some cool things that the Rafters are planning for the 2024 season. You find out about roster updates, upcoming promotions, and other thrilling insights into the team's plans for the upcoming season.
That's right. You don't want to miss it.
Find out more at northwoodsleague.com, northwoodsleague.com. And wanted to wrap up with a couple of world good stories. A guy in Michigan is glad he had to hit the grocery store twice in one day. He went back to return something, bought a lottery ticket, and hit for $1 million.
Oh, nice. He's probably grumbling on his way, too.
You know he was.
I forget this.
Yeah.
Or return something. This isn't what I wanted.
The rest of his life, it's going to be his job to go and pick things up that he forgot, that somebody forgot or something like that, too. Yeah. And a guy in South Carolina named Timothy Snipe saved his tiny chihuahua from a coyote the other day.
Ooh.
He grabbed it by his bare hands, picked it up by the tail, and trapped it in a dumpster. He got bit on the leg and needed 9 rabies shots, but he'll be okay, and his chihuahua Roxy is perfectly fine.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. He said, quote, "Once you get a pet, they're automatically a part of the family. That is my girl." And
that's
a
courageous. Wow.
And a perfect segue to remind you about Dom, our pet of the week. Check out this cool lionhead rabbit and many other furry friends at the Southwick County Humane Society. You can find them all at swchs.com.
Yes, you can. And you might find your own Kevin.
Yes, that's very true. You find your new furry friend, your new furry family member at swchs.com. Visit our friends at the Southwick County Humane Society. Great show, Melissa. You have a good day.
Yeah, you too, James.
We'll have Terry John sitting in with us tomorrow. We'll be back with more fun and get you ready for the weekend right here at, well, Pam, you take it.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.